You know, every once in a while, I like to do things that are a little experimental.
What are you talking about?
But like, sometimes I like to do things au natural, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't know what you mean.
Okay, well, today we're going to talk about a wine that likes to do things like that, too. Mm. So hold on to your socks.
What if I'm not wearing any?
Hello, and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe, your sommelier of a reasonably priced wine, and this is my wife and my wine pairing partner in crime, Carmela.
Hi there.
And we are the Wine Pair.
Wow.
Okay, a quick orientation for those of you who may be new to the podcast. What we do in each episode is we learn about and we taste, and we give our completely honest review of three wines that are reasonably priced, which means under $20, and should be easy for you to find. Why are you laughing?
Because you're just like on high.
I'm hyper.
You're just like, wow.
Okay, and our podcast is made for people who want to learn more about wine, find new wines to enjoy, and just want someone to talk about wine in a fun way that normal people can understand.
I'm so intrigued, yeah, especially just by the whole like enthusiasm.
I sound very enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. So if that sounds like you, you are in the right place. Fun. And we are proud to say that we are recommended by the editors of Decanter Magazine, who call us fun, irreverent,
chatty,
and entertaining.
Now enthusiastic.
And enthusiastic. Yeah, I have to say too, Carmela, I got a new mic. I was trying to use a new mic for a couple weeks. I hated it.
Yeah.
I got this new one. I like it. Don't you like it? Don't
I mean,
you think
it
sounds good?
So excited.
But don't you
tonight.
Think it sounds a little better?
Oh, it sounds so much different. I mean, like, way better. Oh,
okay, you're being sarcastic. No. I also want to make a shout out to Rachel, who sent us a little email and told us how much she liked us. We like you too, Rachel. Okay, there you go.
Wow.
It's on the
Thanks,
books.
Thanks, Rachel.
Okay.
Come
so,
for dinner.
That's right.
Sunday night.
Send us a note. Okay, Carmela, I feel like it's been a while since we have had a sparkling wine.
Ooh.
And not just in this podcast, but kind of in general.
Yeah, we have. I wonder why.
I don't know, but for those of you out there in listening land who may not know this, Carmela and I love sparkling
yes,
wine.
Yes, we do.
And you're probably getting sick of hearing this from us, but I'll just say it again. Don't call it champagne.
No.
Right?
No.
Unless it's really a champagne, don't call it champagne, it's sparkling wine. Okay, but that's a different story. So, we are back this week, Carmela, to one of our beloved WTF episodes, where we edumacate ourselves and, by association, all of you out there about some new or different wine. And for this WTF episode, we're asking the question, what the fuck is Pet Nat?
Yay, I'm excited.
Now, some of you out there in listening land may be wondering, what is Pet Nat?
Because what is Pet Nat?
Well, and I'll tell you in a little bit, but that might be because you frankly just never even heard the term before.
No.
And that's totally fine.
I mean, I have.
I know you have.
I know.
Because we've had it.
Right, exactly. But I wouldn't have known it if you hadn't introduced it to me.
That's true. I was like introducing you.
Yeah,
hello,
hi.
Meet Pet
Nat. My name is Pet
Nat. Okay, now others of our friends out there may have heard of Pet Nat, but were just afraid to try it.
Ooh, yeah. You know what? I would almost imagine that you would be one of those people.
I would.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it,
yeah,
it's a little different.
Too natural,
a little funky.
A little bit, yeah,
yeah.
Kind of freak you out a little bit. That
exactly.
would be really, though. Like, so good for you.
Thank you for being open minded.
Exactly.
Is that what you're thinking?
Good job for being open. And I believe that you have liked the ones we've tried.
I have.
Yeah.
And today we're going to try and remove your fear of Pet Nat by exploring just exactly what it is. And we're going to try three reasonably priced Pet Nats that should be easy for you to find, so we can see if we can help you discover something new that you might just love. Mm. And after all, that's what the WTF episodes are about anyway, right, Carmela?
Right.
Okay. Now, I'm trying to remember the first time we had a Pet Nat, or even the first time I even heard of it. And I know one of the first, maybe even the first Pet Nats we had was actually when we went to Chelan several years ago.
Okay.
Now, for those of you who don't know Washington State, Chelan, in the middle of the state, there's a lake called Lake Chelan and a small town called Chelan, go figure. Mm-hmm. And the area is actually high desert, so it gets real hot during the summer. Right. And the lake is mountain fed, so it gets real cold all the time.
You
and
think it would be refreshing, but it's actually just kind of startling.
Not. You think you're going to have a heart attack.
Right.
Okay. And in and around Lake Chelan, there are now a whole bunch of vineyards and wineries where there used to be apple orchards. Mm-hmm. So I remember we went to a winery called Hard Row to Hoe in Chelan, and we went in their tasting room. It was right off the highway when you go from Chelan to Manson. Mm-hmm. And I think there was, it was like, I think there was like, do you remember this? There was like one other person and they were kind of like, I think the two of them were kind of at a table. They weren't even behind the bar in the tasting room.
I mean, sort of.
And we were looking at stuff and I think they just kind of convinced us to try their pet nap. Mm. We were like, what is this? Do you have a, I think.
Were we with my parents?
No. I think it was just you and me.
Okay.
And I think I was totally confused about even what a pet nap was.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing was a little pricey.
Oh,
it was
boy.
Like 40,
so that's
45
not what
bucks.
We're reviewing today.
No. And so I wasn't even sure that I wanted to try it because not only was it weird, but it was expensive for me. For me, it was expensive.
Right.
But I do remember we bought it. We busted out the credit card. We were like, let's go for it.
You really weren't the sommelier of reasonably priced wines.
Not that day.
Yeah, not that day.
Not that day. Yeah. No. So we took it back to our room at Campbell's Resort. We put it in the fridge. And then we opened it and we tasted it. I remember thinking, this is some good juice, bro.
Wow, bro. Hey, now, question for you.
Okay.
Oh, God. Now, just
comes.
Shooting.
Do it.
I just, you know.
Shoot them away. Shoot them. Go.
Just make me think of things. Are pet gnats always sparkling?
They are.
Okay.
And we will get to that, my love.
Okay. I knew I was jumping the gun.
But back to Hard Road to Hoe. I did go back to their website as I was writing this episode to see if I could find their pet gnat. And I couldn't find it. And what's really interesting is Wine Enthusiast actually gave their 2018 pet gnat, which may have been the one that we tried. They gave it like a 90 rating, which is a really good rating, and I don't think Chelan wineries get ratings that often.
Did you inquire with them?
No, I didn't go and ask him. I didn't call him
you
up.
You should.
Okay, well, I didn't.
Okay, I mean, that would be interesting.
Stop judging me.
Okay, wait, did you find out why they discontinued it? Or do you not even know that?
I'm telling you, I don't know. All I did was I went to the website to see if I could find it, and I couldn't find it.
Okay.
So there you go. So now, for all of you out there in listening land who may be wanting to ask questions, but can't, like Carmela, a little hint on Pet Nat. The wine from Hard Row to Hoe was called Hard Row to Hoe 2018 Au Naturel Pet Nat Rosé.
Oh, wow.
So the hint is that it was called Au Naturel, which means natural or without intervention, or probably how we most often hear it, naked.
Oh, no. Hey,
A naked wine. Yeah.
I mean, WTF, and now we're talking about
I know,
nudity?
This is a hot episode.
Okay. My goodness.
But anyway, I'm digressing.
Naked's kind of different than nudity, though.
You're right. Naked's natural.
Right.
It's natural. Au naturel. Nudity is dirty.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I think we should just get into what this pet nat thing is, because the sooner we do that, the sooner we can stop talking about naked people.
Naked people?
And we can start drinking our three pet nat wines, which we have for today, which, by the way, come from different countries and should be delicious. And they're definitely cold because they've been sitting in the fridge for days. But first,
You got to do your shameless plug.
That's right. So we want to thank you for listening to us and supporting our show. And if you haven't had the chance to do so yet, now would be an awesome time to subscribe to the podcast. Carmela's giving me such a look.
No. I'm just like, wow, you're just very interesting.
I'm really hyper. Now, subscribing, ladies and gentlemen, is a free way, way to support us.
Life is a highway.
Life is a highway, and this is a free way. Okay? And we want to thank all of you who have subscribed already. And another great way to support us is to leave a nice rating and review on our website or an Apple Podcasts and let people know that, you know, 5 stars for us because we're awesome. I don't know. That was dumb. Okay. And then you can also follow us and see pictures of the wines we're tasting and trying today on Instagram at the Wine Pair Podcast. You can also follow us on Threads. I always say that, but I don't even go on Threads. You can also contact us on our website, thewinepairpodcast.com. And if you go there, you can sign up for our email mailing list. And there we send out information about food and wines, and we have recipes and food and wine pairings. It's amazing.
It is hands down the most amazing thing you will see today.
It is. Thanks, Carmela. And you can also email us at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com.
Just like Rachel.
Like Rachel did. Mm-hmm. And we will respond and we'll talk about you. Ask Rachel. We sent her a note back.
Right.
Come on. We didn't even wait. We were like, Rachel, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, and as we do every week, we'll tell you someone, this is going off the rails, we think you should tell about the Wine Pair Podcast. And this week, we want you to tell anyone who either loves sparkling wine or who likes to be au naturel or naked. Like, oh, you know, wow. People who like to walk around naked.
Well, usually those are like empty nesters too. Oh, that's what I've heard. Like all naked all the time. But do we do that?
I don't want to talk about it. But right now behind our microphones, we might be naked. We ooh, could. That's a bad.
Oh my gosh.
That's a terrible. You don't want to put that idea out of
anybody's
head. I'm sorry for even saying that.
That picture.
I know. I'm trying to get that picture out of my head. But just send those people this episode and tell them to keep their pants on.
Whoa. We're not going to be able to publish this one.
Oh, yes, we are. Okay, Carmela, let's just talk about what the F PetNat is. Are you ready?
So ready.
Okay, so first I'm just going to say that PetNat is a style of sparkling wine. So you asked, is it a sparkling? Mm. Yes, it's always a sparkling wine.
Okay.
And like any sparkling wine, the taste of the sparkling wine is going to be very dependent on the types of grapes that are used and the talent of the winemaker and so forth. So in as much that sparkling wine is a style of wine and not a varietal or specific grape or whatever, PetNat is another further style of sparkling wine. So it's just another style. Okay. So PetNat is actually short for the French term Petillon naturel.
Oh my.
And that means natural sparkling in French. And PetNat is actually a very old style or way of making sparkling wine called méthode ancestrale. Wow. Or ancestral. Ancestral, right?
Oh, wow.
Now, so this is from an article that I got online from Decanter Magazine, and you can find it if you go to our show notes. So if you go to our website, click on this episode, and then scroll down to the show notes. The PetNat style of making sparkling wine was said to be developed in the 16th century, but ooh, I'm betting it's way older than
that. I would think it's a very old form of winemaking.
In fact, the Decanter article says it's probably the oldest way of making sparkling wine.
Mm.
And my guess is that it was probably developed like hundreds or thousands of years before that, and probably by accident.
Wow.
Right? Because a lot of times, like beer, wine, these things that like ferment, etc., they probably, I mean,
just when
they
happened originally upon it.
Or exactly.
Just, yeah.
Exactly. But today, it's made purposely, and it's been made purposely for a long time.
Hmm.
Now, PetNat gets its sparkliness, I call it sparkliness,
I like that,
through a single continuous fermentation. So what do I mean by that?
Hmm.
So that means, you ask.
What do you mean by that, Joe? Well,
that means that the wine is bottled while it's still fermenting.
Mm.
So it's not done fermenting.
Okay.
So the yeast is still in with the juice, and the yeast is eating up those sugars that are in the grape juice, and then the yeast, it eats those sugars and it poops out carbon dioxide, and that's what gives the bubbles.
That's what makes it all natural.
Yeah, and that's exactly. And so it's considered to be a relatively simple and natural way to make sparkling wine.
Hmm.
So you may also ask, what makes PetNat different from the champagne method of making sparkling wine?
What makes PetNat different from the champagne way of making wine?
You know, I am really glad that you asked that question, Carmela. So let me tell you.
Okay.
First, since the wine ferments completely in the bottle, the yeast, or the lees, as they're called, are left in the bottle in PetNat. So PetNats are often cloudy,
right,
and you'll usually see sediment in them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. And that's what I would almost think would freak you out.
No, totally. I mean, you kind of turn that bottle and you're like, ooh, there's something in there.
Right. And that's something we thought, or we believe that
would be bad.
Right. Well, and my brother, we thought, oh, that would be something he would love because he's kind of all natural.
Yeah, he is kind of naked all the time. Okay. So the champagne style now, on the other hand, of sparkling wine, it starts by making a still wine. So they start by making a non-sparkling wine. And so it's fermented once already.
Mm.
And then they bottle that wine as well with yeast to create the bubbles and a second fermentation. But in this case, the bottles are inverted. So the tops are downward. The tops
weird.
Are faced downward.
Okay.
So what they want to do is they want to get the lees, you know, that yeast, uh-huh, to like gather around the cork or the opening of the bottle. And then what they do is they open the bottle, and that's called disgorging. And what happens then is they clear out the lees, and then they put some more sparkling wine from other vintages in it.
Oh.
And then that wine, which is now clear, is corked.
Oh, wow.
But in PetNat, there's no disgorging.
Right.
The lees just stay in there.
So interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
I mean, on purpose. It's just
purposely.
Such a, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then the second way that PetNat is different, PetNat is a pretty fast way of making sparkling wine. One article called it quick and dirty.
Ooh.
So champagne can take years
nudity,
to make. Nudity, quick and dirty.
Yeah. Quick and dirty.
Ah, natural. Now, champagne can take many years to make, but a PetNat can be ready sometimes in just a few months.
Mm.
And they're generally consumed really young. And usually they're totally consumed within the first couple of years of being bottled. Mm-hmm. And when they're very young, pet gnats can be a little bit sweet because the yeast hasn't eaten up all the sugar.
Is it something that like goes bad quicker though than just because there's all that natural sediment in there? I wonder.
I think it just doesn't last as long. I don't think it's going to last super long. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right.
It's just not stripped of its, you know, I feel like it, if you're, it's kind of stripped of some of those natural particles. It's just not going to...
I think that's
right. It'll last longer.
Yeah, and then I think sometimes you have those sediments in there, they'll just naturally probably go bad after a while. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the third way in which they're different is that a pet gnat is actually not very reliable or predictable. It's a more challenge. Well, it's not more challenging. It's just like weird things can happen when you start making a pet gnat. When you make a champagne or you make a Prosecco, which is made in a different method called the Charmat method of sparkling wine, it's got really specific steps. There's a lot more human intervention. It's very precise. Mm-hmm. Like pet gnat, the winemaker, by the name itself, just lets nature take its course.
So do you think you have to be as crafty with a pet gnat?
So I think what we're going to find, and we'll talk about this when we get to the wines, is that I think they're sometimes more experimental. Like people try different things with pet gnats than they would with like a champagne or some other type of sparkling wine. Hmm. So I think that's part of the whole deal. They're natural. You kind of let nature take its course. And I think sometimes winemakers like them because they can try different things. And again, one of the wines we're going to taste today is trying something really different, but I'm going to get to that in a second. Okay. But on that note, like pet gnats can have funky flavors. They can sometimes have funky smells. And that's also a part of the appeal sometimes. People just like that better. Mm-hmm. And then some people really love pet gnat because it's natural. It's considered a natural wine. Right. Most pet gnat makers use organic grapes. The grapes or the wines also tend to be vegan because they're not fined and filtered. And so, you know, some people, again, really like this. Some winemakers are using also like naturally occurring yeasts and natural fermentations and very low intervention. And so that can be really appealing to people. And then sometimes pet gnats can also have like a different kind of bubble than a champagne. Hmm. Sometimes they're almost more fizzy or effervescent than they are like those, you know, those pretty bubbles you get in a champagne. Sometimes you're not going to get that in a pet gnat.
Do you think they're a little more of a casual bottle? Like they almost feel like a picnic type of wine.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. I think they can be casual, but sometimes they're a little pricey.
Yeah,
like sometimes they can be a little bit more expensive. So I think they're a little bit more like... For the artsy crowd, I think they're kind of a little bit like, I mean, I'm not saying you could totally have one at a picnic and something fun kind of outside, but I think they're kind of maybe sometimes because they can be a little pricey, are not quite that super casual.
Right. Not as accessible maybe either.
What do you mean? Accessible taste-wise?
I'm just thinking price-wise. Like if you're not looking to, you know, you may not want to splurge on something like that.
Yeah, I agree. But then I think people who really want that like kind of natural, they want something that's not mass produced, they want something that's a little bit more handmade, a little like they'll be really attracted to a wine like this. Mm-hmm. And also because it's all natural, they'll be attracted to it.
Ooh, wow. Of course. I mean, wouldn't we all? I know some people don't really like that though. People don't really
No, you're right.
They're some like that one's a little too all natural for me.
Some people like clothes.
True.
They like the mystery.
Or maybe sometimes like all natural might be like, you know, just like a little plainer.
I don't know. I like where you're going.
No.
But I don't understand it at all.
I don't either.
She's going to want me to edit that.
Yeah,
I probably
so please
won't.
Do. Okay. Yes, you will. Okay. You will.
No, the last thing I'll also say is that you can often tell if a sparkling wine is a pet gnat. Not always, but you can often tell if it's a pet gnat because the bottle is topped with a bottle cap or what they call a crown
cap. I love that. Maybe that's what makes you think of it as being a little
cheaper.
Bit casual.
Yeah, casual. Yeah, you're right.
Not cheaper, casual.
Yeah. But that's just, you know, what's weird about that, or I don't know if it's weird, but actually when they cap champagne the first time before it's disgorged, they often use a crown cap.
Hmm.
Like that's actually something you'd see if you went to a lot of champagne places. I guess I've never been, but I've seen the pictures.
Okay.
Okay. But anyway, that's a lot of talking. So I think we should talk about the wines that we chose for this episode.
Yes, I think we should.
Carmela's like, can we get on with it? Okay. So Carmela, I do have an admission to make.
Okay.
For the second week in a row, we're going to have a wine that breaks the $20 barrier.
Joe.
I know. But I will say in total, these wines average under $20.
Okay.
And even the most expensive of the bunch is just barely over $20.
Wow.
But I had to give that disclaimer because we're supposed to be about reasonably priced wine.
I know. You're killing me, honey.
No, I'm not killing you. And then I'll also say that sometimes finding specific types of wines like a Pet Nat makes it a little hard to find wines that are under $20. And I'll just say in general, things are getting a little bit more expensive. I don't know if people out there have noticed that. So I'm not sure exactly how much longer we're going to be able to say that $20 is our bar. We might have to go to $25 at some point.
Okay.
But we're not going to do it now. But maybe soon.
Well, we are doing it now.
But I'm not changing the parameters of the podcast yet. That may come someday. Will come someday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then all of these should be relatively easy to find because I bought them all on wine.com.
Perfect.
And I will say Pet Nat is actually becoming a little bit easier to find. Like, find a natural wine shop, no problem. You'll find them there. But I think even in bigger wine shops, you're starting to see more and more natural wines and Pet Nats show up. So,
wait a minute. Yeah. Didn't we do a Pet Nat with my brother? Is that why I'm thinking of it?
We did kind of a Pet Nat style. It was not called a Pet Nat. It was an Italian wine, but it did look like a Pet Nat.
Yes. Yeah. And that was on his Casa Fiore's Cucina.
Oh, on Facebook.
Right. And YouTube.
Use a tube. Okay, now let's get back to the wine. Are you ready to get back to the wine, Carmela?
Yes.
Okay, so the first wine we're going to drink today comes to us from Spain in the Penedès region, and it's called Entre Vignes Oniric Pet Nat. I don't know what accent I was using. And it's a 2022, and the winery says that the grapes are hand-harvested in small bins and fermented with natural yeast. So we're going to hear
natural.
Yeah, we're going to hear a lot of that stuff. And what's interesting is that they use two grapes in the wine, two Spanish grapes, Zarello and Muscat. But the Zarello is fermented in stainless steel, but the Muscat is fermented in clay amphora.
Oh,
so like these weird old clay jars. Mm-hmm. So, and then the wines are blended and bottled at the end of fermentation, and then they continue to ferment and age for about 6 months in the bottle. So again, I think you're going to find Pet Nats to often be experimental. That just feels like we're doing something different. Like we're just going to try different stuff. Now, the vineyard that they come from is certified organic. The wine is also certified vegan. And the soil it comes from is clay and limestone. So we'll see if some of that comes through in the taste. This wine is interesting. It's a little low in alcohol. It's 11%. And so usually lower alcohol wines are sweeter. But the wine is described as dry.
Okay.
But remember, in sparkling wines, often dry means slightly sweet. So I don't know if they meant dry or dry brut or dry sweet. Like, I don't know which dry they meant.
They were confused too.
I'm confused.
Well, they were, yeah. Okay, we'll find out then.
But usually a lower alcohol wine means a higher sweetness.
Okay.
But we'll see. Okay, the next wine we're trying today is called Santa Giulia Natural La Mantis Pet Nat. Yeah, it has a little mantis, like a little praying mantis. It's a very cute label. And this wine comes from South America, comes from Argentina in the Mendoza area. The wine is also organic, and the winemaker also claims to make their wine sustainably.
Oh, nice.
So again, I think you were going to see a lot of this with Pet Nat too, is that they're sustainable, they're natural, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And they also say they use natural yeast and the wine is unfiltered. So I'm guessing it's also vegan. And then this wine is 100% Chardonnay. And that's, yeah, so that's probably the way that we will like Chardonnay the best, is when it's sparkling and unoaked.
Right.
And I think, remember, for those of you out there in listening land, that Chardonnay is actually a very classic sparkling wine grape, actually a classic champagne grape. And then different from our last wine, this one is 13.5% alcohol, so it's quite a bit higher.
Very different, yeah.
And it should be pretty brut, pretty dry.
Right.
Okay, and then the last wine we're going to taste, Carmela, should be really different. Remember when I said there was an experimental wine?
Right.
This one is going to be different.
Okay.
So you
Give
ready?
It to me, yeah.
It's called the 2021 Field Recordings Dry Hop Pet Nat. And so the dry hop part had me really intrigued, which is why I would never usually buy it, but because these are kind of funky wines, I wanted to try it. So it's described on one website as Pet Nat meets sour beer.
Okay, I wonder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I thought this would be interesting to try because Pet Nat is sort of a freer or more experimental form of winemaking. And clearly that's what these people did. So they use hops. I mean, they use hops in
along with the grapes.
Exactly. Huh. So this wine is also 100% Chardonnay. But what they say is that the wine is pressed and racked onto mosaic hops in a large stainless steel tank.
Mm.
And the grapes were organic. They use it native yeast in the fermentation. The wine is also said to be vegan. And they also claim to be sustainable.
Wow.
Now, this is what the wine... Go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm so curious to hear, to taste this and see how much it changes, like having the hops, how much it changes the taste of it.
Yeah,
the flavor.
Like sour beers, like I don't love sour beers
like you
normally.
Think it would be, what's like a sour beer? Like a Hefeweizen?
No. That's not a sour. Remember, we've had sour beers. Often they look like they're cloudy. Sometimes they are like different colored, but they're sour. Sour beers.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So this is what the winery says about the wine, and I liked this. They said, Dry Hop Pet Nat was our first foray into the Pet Nat revolution. The creation of this wine requires perfect timing. It must be captured in bottle at just the right level of natural sugar, so it is perfectly carbonated upon release.
So not as much wiggle room with this one.
Yeah, and they also say carbonated, which is interesting. Remember I said sometimes they're more fizzy or effervescent? So I also wonder, in addition to having sort of a sour and maybe a beer-like taste, if it's a little more fizzy than it is really sparkling.
Yeah,
you know bubbly. What I mean? Like really
yeah,
bubbly.
Fizzy yeah. rather than bubbly, maybe.
Exactly. So I think this is going to be really fun and super interesting. We have three different pet nats from three different parts of the world and three different styles, including this one that uses hops. So on that note, I think it's time to start drinking.
I think it is.
Okay, we're going to take a break. And if you've got a sparkling wine, a pet nat, something along with you, go ahead and open it up and drink along with us. It's participation time, people!
Woo! And you get points.
Woo! Free participation points. Okay, we'll be back in a minute.
All right.
Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our first wine. This is the Entre Vignes Oniric Pet Nat. It's from the Penedès area of Spain. This is a 2022. It was $16.99 at wine.com. This is the one that's 11% alcohol. It's 70% Xarello and 30% Muscat. So one thing that we noticed right off the bat, it is cloudy. It's effervescent. I mean, it's like almost like beer.
You cannot see
beer
through
sparkly.
It.
No, you
and
can't.
It's it's exactly. It had a little bit of like extra foam on top.
Yeah,
important.
A little foamy. Okay, what are you smelling?
Well, when I first took a sniff, I was getting some yeast for sure. Kind of a bready smell to it. Let me see what else. What do you
know?
You smell?
I almost smelled like a Hefeweizen. I don't know if maybe you put that in my head, but like a Hefeweizen with lemon in it.
Ooh, yeah, it's a little bit citrusy smelling.
Citrusy, yeasty. Maybe a little bit of apple. I think I'm getting a little bit of apple on it as well. But it's almost got like a little bit of a beer-like smell on it.
I can smell a little pineapple maybe though too. A little bit of sweet.
I like that.
Because I know it's a little extra. I mean, well, we're thinking because it's lower in alcohol, it might be a little sweeter, right? I'm getting a little bit of that.
Yeah, now I'm getting that. I see what you're saying. But do you get an apple or pear on it as well? Or
maybe
no?
A little pear.
Yeah.
I think pear is a good one, actually.
Okay, well, let's try it and see what we think.
Ooh.
It's good.
It's really nice.
It's good. It's dry. It is dry.
Yeah.
It's sweet on the front, but really dry on the back end.
What else? I'm getting a little melon.
I think I'm getting a little melon. I'm getting citrus for sure. Mm-hmm. Getting a little bit of stone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And these are the Spanish grapes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's nice. I am getting pineapple. I am definitely getting pineapple. Now that you say that, I feel like I'm getting that. Almost tropical fruit kind of flavors.
You know, it's interesting too. It almost, it's just, I don't know if people taste this, but when you have like a sparkling water and there's that little bit of that bitter taste in it, I'm feeling like there's a little, like a little bit of a bite to it.
There is bitterness on
it.
It's nice though. It's a nice bitterness.
It's a good balance actually.
I feel like this really cleans off the tongue though. It's like a really nice, dry, clean wine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very nice tasting.
Mm.
It's not overpowering. Like it's pretty mellow.
Yeah.
Like almost elegant. Like an almost elegant kind of wine. Or not. It's not like super like forward. It's kind of like it's meant to be enjoyed and sipped.
Yes. Yes. And it's definitely fizzy.
Yeah.
It's not, there are no bubbles really. I mean, they're very fine.
Well, it's hard to see.
Yeah, but they're also just very fine bubbles, if any, you know, but you can taste the carbonation or that little bit of fizz in your mouth, which is so nice.
Yeah, it is nice. Mm. What food would you have with this?
I had to take a little sip.
Yeah, I know.
I think you could do a lot with this. I know you would go down the spicy route. And
I
could see that with this
food.
This wine. I could definitely see some really nice spicy food with this. And I could even do like Mexican food with this.
Really?
It's spicy. Yeah, like fish tacos with a little, you know.
The lemony taste in this would definitely go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
that,
sure.
That, for some reason, yeah, I could definitely do fish tacos with like a little bit of a spicy sauce on it. any type of spicy food. I could do even like fish and chips with this. Fried food would be good. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. And you know, I'm gonna angle towards the spicy, spicy like Chinese food or something would go really nicely with this. I like what you said about Mexican food, because a lot of times wine and Mexican foods are not an awesome pairing. They're just, for whatever reason, sometimes the flavors just don't match with a lot of like standard wines. But I think with this one, it would be really nice.
Yeah. I think that little bit of citrus that's in it, maybe we're kind of saying this too.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you know, when you're having any type of beer, you almost, when it's Mexican food, you're almost always putting a lime or a lemon in that beer.
Yeah.
So it kind of reminds me of that too.
I agree. I'm with you 100%. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's rate this one. So as a reminder, on our rating scale, we rate on a scale of 1 to 10, no habsies, only whole numbers. And 7 or above means that we'd buy it, and a 4 or below means we're going to pour it down the sink, and a 5 or a 6 means, hey, well, we won't kick it out of bed. You know, well, if we're eating crackers, you know, we'll probably finish it.
I mean, especially if you're all natural.
Yeah, but we might look for something else. You know what I mean? Anyway, what rating would you give this wine?
Well, I'm curious to taste the other ones. I'm in that boat where I'm like, I know we're in the same boat because you just said that. But
I'm not in a boat.
You're not in my boat?
I'm in a
basement.
You
just said you were in the same boat with
me. I'm in a basement.
So in my boat.
This basement doesn't have a boat.
No, it doesn't. But I'm thinking I would like to taste the other ones, but this, because this is kind of really, like you said, you know, hold on to your socks, and I don't have socks on, or maybe I do have
socks on. Yeah.
But this is, I mean, this is kind of knocking my socks off.
Really? Yeah. So what are you rating it again?
Well, right now, I'm like,
come on, let it go.
I mean, it might be it might be a 9.
Okay, you're giving it a 9. I'm going to give it an 8. I'm going to give it an 8. I really like it. I think it's delicious. It's not nearly as sweet as I thought it would get.
No.
Now, don't get me wrong. It's got sweetness on it, but I was expecting a really sweet wine. It's not nearly as sweet as I thought it was going to be. It's really
not
nice.
At all.
It's refreshing.
Yeah, it's really nice.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and we are going to try our next wine.
Okay.
Okay, we are back and we're ready to try our next wine. I'll say this one has similar color. Maybe it's a little darker than the last one. It's not quite as opaque, but it's similar fizziness. Like it's fizzy.
Yes. But no, it's very similar color, but I'm cracking up at the label.
Yeah, the label is awesome.
I mean, it's like a kid, a little kid must have drawn it.
Yeah, for sure.
I love it.
And actually, it's probably not a little kid. It's probably some famous artist. But the other thing I'd say is these wines, we are not serving in flutes. We're just serving them in normal wine glasses, which I think is totally appropriate for this kind of wine. I don't think it needs a champagne flute.
I don't think champagne even needs a... I love different glasses for different types of wine.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm. I mean, I like a stem, though. Don't get me wrong.
No stemless. No stemless. Mm-hmm. Don't do the stemless. Mm-hmm. Okay, this wine is called the Santa Julia Natural Lamantas Pet Nat. It's from Mendoza, Argentina, and it is a 2022. It was $19.99 at wine.com, 13.5% alcohol, 100% Chardonnay, and Vinius gave it a 91. Carmela, are you smelling?
Okay, Carsmella. That's what I thought you were going to say. You were bringing me back to, like, you know, when I was bullied. No, I was not bullied, but people would Carsmella.
I get it. But what do you smell, Carsmella?
Okay, right away, pear.
Pear, yeah.
But also kind of like that apple cider, like Martinelli's apple cider, a little bit to me. How about you?
I am smelling a mixed drink. I am smelling like pina colada.
Oh, wow. Some pineapple and coconut?
Yeah. Are you smelling pina? It smells like a pina colada to me. It's
well,
got a mixed drink.
The more I smell it, I'm kind of getting that. But I'm not sure I'm getting the coconut side.
And you know what I'm also getting a little bit of a smell of is a margarita.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Smell it.
Yeah.
Like a little bit of that lime and maybe a little of that like spicy, whatever tequila-y kind of smell.
There's a little bit of tequila on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, it's kind of really interesting.
Really interesting.
I've got tropical fruits, but I'm getting
it smells really sweet to me.
Does it?
Yeah. I know it's not going to be probably, but.
So I said margarita, man. I'm telling you, it smells like a margarita. It smells like a mixed drink.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Okay. Well, let's taste it and see what you think.
Apple. Still apple to me.
I'm getting a lot of citrus.
Okay.
I feel like I'm getting a ton of citrus on it. I feel like it tastes a little bit like a margarita.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm getting sick or what, but it tastes like a little margarita.
Whoa. No, I'm getting hints of that. And even like you said, the mixed drink side of things, like a little bit of a hard alcohol taste is coming through. But I'm still getting kind of a hard cider.
Okay. I'm getting that, but maybe I'm almost getting a little bit of more melon on it, like cantaloupe-y kind of taste or something.
Okay.
It's super dry. Like, it's really dry.
It is.
Like you said, oh, I think it's going to be sweet. On the front, it's actually very sweet, like when you first taste it, but it's really dry in the end. And it's got that bitterness again.
Yes, but it's pretty clean still.
Super clean. As I'm saying, it dries right off.
These are summery drinks to me.
I think they are summery.
Yeah. I mean, you could do, I mean, I actually, funny enough, you could almost have it like Thanksgiving too. Mm-hmm. Something about this all natural, you know, I don't know. Something about it kind of works for a Thanksgiving or fall wine. But this is so clean and refreshing. Oh, I just feel like it says summer all day.
I think also that lemony, the fact that it's so lemony to me, or so citrusy, is making me feel that. Now that I talk about citrus too, maybe a little orange.
Okay.
Maybe a little like clementine, or you know what I mean? Like
a
sweet orange, those little tiny sweet oranges.
Right, right. The cuties.
Are you getting a little bit? Yeah. Are you getting a little bit of that maybe?
A little bit, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, if they're a little bit like tart or sour
or
sometimes.
Even like when you get the, and not really a pith taste, but you know, sometimes you get a piece of the seed.
Yeah.
You know, you have a little, and you kind of.
Yeah, I'm with
and
you.
And then, you know, the little tiny pieces that you can eat kind of has that little bit of bitterness on it.
And so, you know what? These are, you know, again, these are natural, sometimes unfiltered. They could have bits and pieces of stuff in it. I mean, they're basically orange wines, you know, that are effervescent. So they could be keeping that stuff with the wine.
That's tasty.
It's really tasty. What food would you pair with this one?
You know, a lot of the same kinds of foods.
I'm kind of thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I think it's pretty versatile though. You know, like I could see, I could even see doing like a chicken burger with this.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could see like white pizza. I could see sandwiches.
Yeah.
Like a chicken sandwich or something.
It'd be really good.
You know what would be really good? Like a Cuban sandwich. Like a Cuban sandwich would be really good.
Yeah, a little bit spice, a little spicy on it.
But also like now that you're talking spicy, I could see like a spicy sausage or spicy bratwurst or something with it.
Yeah.
It would be really good.
Yeah. Yeah. These are very versatile.
I think this
wines.
One is very versatile.
Yeah.
I think because it's so dang dry.
Yes.
It's so dry that I think you could do a lot of things with it. Anything else?
Oh, I think that's, you know, that's what I'm thinking. What, anything else for you?
No, I think that's it. It's very versatile. I think it's a great food wine, and we like wines that go well with food.
Mm-hmm.
What rating would you give this wine?
Well, it's funny because I'm finding right now that I'm really enjoying these Pet Nats.
Okay.
I'm just saying,
you're
like,
not answering the question.
The hard thing is, like,
we
don't drink this, a lot of this, and I'm like, why am I not drinking more of this?
No, they're
so
delicious.
They're
I love them.
They're so good. They're like kind of dangerous.
No, I love them.
So now I'm like,
they're naked.
You like naked things, don't you?
Okay, but what
rating? So I think, I mean, I'm almost like, I could give this one a 9. I don't know which one I like more than the other.
Okay.
So I'm going to give this, actually, I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay.
I just think the other one I like a little touch more.
Yeah. I think I'm in the same boat, but I'm giving this one an 8 as well. Because I really like it.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like giving it less than an 8.
Oh,
so how about that?
Not, you should just feel whatever
feel
you
good about
feel
it.
You got to do.
Yeah. And I would say these are strong 8s.
Yeah.
Like, these are good wines. Like, you should buy these wines.
Yeah. I don't know anybody that's going to turn their nose up to this.
Well, some people will, because some people are like, you know,
because
but,
of the on that, because they're kind of freaked out by the
I don't know. Or maybe they just don't like the style. It's a very,
they don't
it's
like
a,
nakedness.
But it's a very, it's kind of an elegant style of wine. And it's also not a punch you in the face. It's not like a super like sweet or sugary or like it's
true,
a different kind.
True.
So I think it's a little bit more elegant
kind of
wine.
It's not as full-bodied, like full-mouthy stuff.
Yeah, so I think there's some people might not love it, but I think they're fabulous.
Yeah,
okay,
excellent.
Well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to try this last wine that I'm really intrigued by.
Okay.
Okay, we are back, and we are ready to try this last wine. This is the Field Recordings Dry Hop Pet Nat, and I will say again, similar color to the other two. It's fizzy again, super fizzy. This one might have a little bit more bubble than the rest of them, but it's super fizzy. This is from Paso Robles, California. It's a 2021. It was $22.99, Carmela.
Oh, this is the one that
broke
the
bank. I know. Comes from wine.com, 13.1% alcohol, 100% Chardonnay, but with that hops in it. So what are you smelling?
Okay, so I'm getting the hops. I'm getting a little beer, for sure. But I'm also getting... It's funny, kind of like a pine needle.
Yeah, it's very herby or very like plants that you can smell plants, like herbs, plants, grass. I'm with you. It's really forest.
Yes,
there's like a foresty kind of smell to it.
Forest. That's kind of something sort of like damp too, or some, not in a bad
like damp
way,
dirt,
but yeah.
Clay. Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Hmm.
It's got some fruit on it, but it's like a little bit of that apple-y citrus. I almost smell like a little bit of apple tart or apple turnover.
Oh, wow. Apple turnover, huh?
Well, because I think there's a little yeast, too, that I'm mm-hmm. getting on it. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's got kind of, like I am, like a pastry, like an apple pastry.
Okay, so you're getting some sweetness. See, I'm not getting a ton of that, but I'm getting a little more. It's funny. This is one that really did change after first opening it.
Well, the other thing is, this happens all the time. If you swirl a wine, you will get certain types of smells. Sometimes you get the strongest, most kind of like off-putting smells when you swirl it.
Right.
But then when you stop swirling it and you just put your nose in there,
right.
you get
it
a different...
calms way down.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, because you know what? It had just calmed down mm-hmm. and I could smell more of that apple or that fruit. And then the minute I just swirled it again, the hops came right out.
Yeah, you get kind of those earthy, I find that very often you get kind of those earthy smells when you swirl mm-hmm. and you if it's that type of a wine.
Hmm.
But you're not getting that brioche, that like that sweet sweet
of,
bread.
I mean, just like a just very subtly. Just very subtle.
Okay.
The hops, the earth, the
you're getting
like
that.
I said, pine needle, which is a little bit like sappy smell.
Oh yeah,
too,
yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I like
it's kinda
that.
Kind of coming through,
yeah.
But
Christmas tree. Okay,
right.
Let's taste it.
Mm. Ooh,
I can taste the sourness. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
I like it a little bit more than I thought. I will say, different than the other two, there's a lot going on. Like
it's very effervescent.
Well, but also like the other two, you had a taste at the beginning, and then it dries right out. This one keeps going.
Yeah.
And it keeps kind of changing. It's very citrusy.
Kind of more like a beer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't really taste like a beer,
mm-mm.
but it has definitely the mouthfeel of a beer.
It does. And it's, again, it's very citrusy, and it doesn't clean off the tongue quite the same way that the other two did. It's a dry wine, but that citrus is like coating my tongue.
Mm.
I can definitely taste
the sour
that lemon.
Tang.
Yeah, sour tang. Mm-hmm. I like it, but it's different. I think this might be a little bit more challenging with food, a little bit.
And it is not really wine-like.
It's not quite wine-like. It's not. It's a drinking, like this is, so we always talk about food and wine, and yeah, but this is a drinking wine.
Yeah.
This is one you just can drink.
You could have this on its own.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually kind of a fun party
wine. I was
going to
say, it kind of reminds me of a tailgating wine.
Yeah.
Like this could be a really fun tailgating wine that you're kind of balance, you know, you're like striking a balance.
What do you mean striking a balance?
Well, between like having beer and wine, it's like you're still, it's kind of that refreshing, and you know, you can pop the top. But did you tell them about the cork?
Oh yeah, this was really weird. So I popped the bottle cap off. I didn't tell them. You were right here. I took the bottle cap off. The other two bottle cap came off. That's it. This one, take the bottle cap off. There's a cork.
That's weird.
It was really weird.
And it's a dark bottle.
Yeah.
But so you would not know.
It's a light wine. No, you wouldn't know it's a light wine.
Remember, yeah, if you take this to a tailgating party, you need the corkscrew. You may not know that. You don't need just a bottle cap opener.
Somebody's going to be like, God, don't remember.
Right, right. And then they'll be like trying to work on it with some
with
weird
their teeth
tool.
And
yeah. No, bad idea.
Use
yeah.
a key. Use a key.
Right, right.
Like some
this
idiot.
Will work. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you're going to have like cork all over the place.
Oh,
no, you can't do it.
No.
Okay, what food would you have with this, Ivana?
Well, it's so funny.
Well.
This is so weird, but I could, for some reason, like popcorn, something
salty
with this would be good.
You know what would be good? Movie theater popcorn.
Ooh, fake butter.
And really salty, like salty, salty.
Yes, like salt on your salt.
Ooh,
this would be nice
good.
And refreshing with that.
Well, and you know, like for those of you out there in listening land, like champagne and French fries and potato chips supposed to be a good combo. This would be great.
Yeah.
This would be really good with
French fries.
French fries.
Yeah.
This would be really, actually, you know what? This would be kind of a good Big Mac and French fries kind of pairing.
Oh my goodness.
Because
you and your Big
creamy,
Mac.
But they're like creaminess. And
I know how a Big Mac is stacked now.
You didn't. You
I didn't.
Two
but
years
now
ago, you had no idea.
Now I can tell you.
Yeah.
But
two all beef patties, special sauceless, cheese linge, pickles, and sesame seed bun.
Right.
But you're right. They don't say sesame seed bun in the middle.
No. So how are you supposed to know? Okay.
Because you look at pictures and you observe.
No, not if you're not interested. Like if you're not interested in a Big Mac,
this is what she says to me all the time. I'm not interested.
So
okay.
I'm not looking.
Anyway, wow, when I'm all natural. Okay, so what
That's
rating?
Not true.
It's sort of true. Okay, what rating would you give this wine, Carmela?
Okay. I'm going to give this, I think I'm going to give it a 7, like a really strong 7.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 7 too. Like, I buy it. I definitely buy it. I'm not sure I buy it for everybody. There's some people who would be like, there's a certain...
Your college pals.
No, I think there's a certain... What I was thinking more of is there's a certain type of wine snob who might be like, oh.
That's what I mean. You need not... It's not like an unrefined taste at all.
No.
But I'm just saying, like, somebody who's like, thinks that they're more refined.
Super cool. Wine person.
Like, but this is so much fun. This is another like gift wine. Like, oh, people. Like,
totally.
This is so much fun.
The bottle, the labels
like
they make
are. Birthday?
Yeah, the labels they make are kind of cool.
Yeah, and they're just sort of simple. And then the whole cork with the cap, I just think they're so much fun. You put a little bow on this thing and.
Bow on it. Put a bow on it.
Maybe you wouldn't put a bow on it.
Okay.
But I think it would be a great, like, 50th birthday gift.
Oh, okay.
21st.
50th.
Why
couldn't it be like 40th or 30th? Okay.
16th. No, okay. No. Which, 21. 21.
Which of these wines, Carmela, let's get off the age thing. Which of these wines are you finishing tonight? I don't know what's wrong with me.
I am going to go. With the entree, baby.
Entree, baby. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think I'll go with the Santa Giulia.
Okay.
Okay, good. So we won't have to fight.
Fight.
Okay, so let's talk about the taste profiles expected from different Pinot Nats. So I'm not going to give a general taste profile because, it's going to be totally dependent on the grapes, the style, etc. Although all of these are relative, there is some similarity between them. Okay, the Entre Vignes Oniric Pinot Nat Rock Juice, a site called rockjuice.com says, this lightly fizzy wine is so fresh and aromatic with an almost unctuous texture. While the palate is dry, floral notes from the Muscat greet you at first sip, but it opens up to salty rocks and summer peaches.
Peaches. Okay.
The Santa Giulia. The winery says aromas of white fruits and orange peel with refreshing acidity. I think we did eventually get to orange peel.
Yes, we did.
Vinia says, initially there's a yeasty nose in which white fruit flavors develop later on. Indulgent to the mouth with fine bubbles. Fruity expression, raw, simple, pure. PR Bottle Shop says, on the nose, fresh and lively with notes of white fruits, pear, and orange peel. Some floral hints
white
of...
White fruits? What is that, like apples and pears? I keep saying white fruits.
I think
white
that's
fruits.
What it means. Okay. Some floral hints of honeysuckle or elderflower, along with a touch of yeastiness or bready aromas. Light-bodied and refreshing with a zippy acidity and a gentle spritz of bubbles. Flavors of tart green apple, lemon, and grapefruit may dominate.
Okay, so what happened to the margarita?
With nuances of stone fruit such as peach or apricot. All right.
Tequila?
I don't know. It wasn't in there.
Okay.
Maybe that's what white fruits are. Field Recordings Dry Hop. This is the only one I could find. Argo says gooseberry pear.
Gooseberry.
Pear.
We all know what gooseberry
is. Yeah, I know. That's one of my favorite fruits.
Wow. I have gooseberry all the time.
Exactly. Pear, lemon blossom, grapefruit, guava, almond skin, which is a weird thing. Ah. But, you know, no of that herbaciousness, but I think like almond skin, maybe.
Right, exactly.
Especially if it's like an unsalted, you know, like the raw almond. Okay. I can almost say raw. Aren't you proud of me?
I was like, I'm trying to figure out what you're saying.
I'm trying too. Carmela, overall, Pinot Nats, come on.
I love
get with
them.
It, people.
What you've been holding out, Jojo?
No, I'm not holding out.
Okay, they're really good. I think you should try them.
You should try them, people. Yeah. Get with it.
Get to it. Get to it.
Get on it. All right. Keep your socks on. Keep your pants on. But get the all natural. Okay. Carmela, it's just about time for us to go. But before we do, we want to thank you all very much for listening to us. And if you haven't done it yet, come on. Now subscribe and leave us a rating and review. We love
it or tick it.
Click it or tick it. Leave us a nice rating and review so we can get more listeners. It's free. Come on. It's free. It's awesome. It's free. And we really appreciate it. Thank you very much for all of you who have done that. We'd love to hear from you about maybe a wine you want us to taste or review or some season or something that's coming up that you want us to talk about so you can leave a message for us or reach out to us on our website, thewinepairpodcast.com. You can join our email newsletter there, or you can just email us at joe@thewinepairpodcast, and you can follow us on Instagram and DM us there, and we'll answer you, we promise. And with that, we're going to sign off. So we're going to say thank you once again, and we'll see you next time. And as we like to say, life is short, so stop drinking shitty wine and put your pants on.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
Bye.